Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The woman with issue of blood is a, I'm going to use a big word for Surrey County, but I think I know what it means. It's a parenthetical passage. It really happens in between the main story of Jairus and his daughter. That was impressive, right? I mean, I'm from Yadkin County. That's still a big word from where I'm from, too. But it's like right in the middle. Y'all remember parentheses, right? That's what the woman with the issue of blood is. And a lot of times we don't see that because a lot of times we just preach that one story. But it really is a bigger picture. And then right in the middle of all that, you see God moving and working. And I'm thankful that in the middle of chaos, in the middle of trials and trouble, that we've got a God that still can move and work. And I love that about this story. But I want to look at this woman. Let's begin reading verse number 43. It says, And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. You know, here's an interesting thought I've thought about. I'll get to the point in a second. I'm trying to get my nerves settled, all right? If you had to look at all y'all ugly, I mean pretty faces too, you'd be nervous too. And, you know, some of y'all are offended. Y'all will not listen to anything else I say. I think it's interesting that this woman has had this issue for 12 years. Jairus' daughter, anybody know how old she was? She was 12 years of age. I believe if you study it out, I believe there might be a possibility that this woman with issue of blood is that little girl's mama and Jairus' wife. Now, that's food for thought. You think, you know, we'll argue about it later. We are Baptists, so we can argue. We'll argue about it later, but that's just a thought, all right? She had to have some money, and that she had, anyway, I'm not going to preach that. It's just something you think about. Go study it. It's good to study the Bible, amen? Verse number 44 said, after she could be healed of any, right, came behind him, in verse 44, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, I like that word, her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. I want to preach tonight out of these few verses on this thought. Some things faith brings. Some things faith brings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I sure do love you. And God, I sure do thank you for the opportunity to be back in church tonight. Lord, I sure do love this church. And thank you, God, for our relationship that we've had really down through the years now. And Lord, I'm thankful for that, God. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to mind you, I pray that you'd empty me myself, and I pray tonight you'd cleanse me of sin, and I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. God, I pray that you'd make preaching easy, and I pray that you'd give us that unction that makes preaching preaching. God, I pray tonight that there's somebody here that's never been saved. God, I pray that you'd put them under old-fashioned conviction, show them their need of a Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd hang them out over hell tonight, Lord, and I pray that you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. Lord, if there's somebody here struggling or far away from you, Lord, just needing help, God, I pray that you would go right where they are tonight and speak to their heart and let them respond to your voice and to your word. Lord, we love you. We'll thank you, God, for all you're going to do for us. It is in your precious and holy name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. In this story that we've read tonight, Luke 8, we find this woman. And if you'll study it out, in fact, it says it in verse number 43. She's done all that she could do to find help. And even though with all of her effort and all of her trying and all of her, you know, ambition to do something, she's come up short. And she was faced with a situation that she couldn't fix. And that's frustrating. And when you face something you can't fix, that's where she was. It was an overwhelming situation. And what she was in need of something big. What she was in need of was not small. It was not something little. It was a big thing that was standing in her way. And what she needed was something big from the Lord. What she needed was a miracle. And I'm glad I can report to you tonight that she had the one thing, hey, She had the one thing that was necessary for her to see that big thing come to pass and that miracle come to pass, and it's found in verse number 48. And I'll tell you this tonight, you look at your life, and if you look at all the big things, if you look at all the miracles, if you look at all the things that goes beyond your comprehension, all of them can be traced back to one thing. And that one thing ain't the budget. Hey, church, that one thing ain't the number of the crowd. That one thing, young people, ain't popularity. That one thing ain't who's sitting in the Oval Office tonight. But that one thing, that all the big things and all the miracles and all the huge things, all those things can be traced back to one thing. You know what it is? It's a beautiful word called faith. Oh, I love that word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith, hey, you know what the Bible still says? That the just shall live by faith. You know what the Bible said in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse number 6? Says, for without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that is reward of them that diligently seek Him. I'm glad 1 John 5:4 said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What you need more than anything else in this world as a Christian is just to have faith in an almighty God that He is still in control. Faith is where it all comes back to for a Christian. I don't know about you, but man, when you look at the world, I'm telling you what, it's scary, ain't it? Oh, it's scary. I'm afraid for my youngins in the world they're going to have to grow up in. Man, it gets me in a low place if I take my eyes off of the Lord. I look at the shape that our country's in. I look at the shape that our churches are in. Hey, man, I don't know if you know this, but you are not sitting in the average Baptist church tonight. It's just not the average. You, thanks to Calvary Baptist Church, it's not the average. You ought to thank God up in heaven every single day that you've got a church that's alive and a church that's doing something and a preacher that loves you and a preacher that loves this book, because the average Baptist church is dying. They're old. I don't mean that disrespectful, but it's just the truth. The average age is up in their 50s and 60s, and in 25 years, if they don't do anything, their church is going to die. But ain't you glad to be a part of a church that's doing something for the glory of God? They're doing something for you young people, and they're doing something for the middle age, and doing something for the old folk too. Ain't you glad God's good to you, He put you in a place like this? And I tell you, the average church don't look that way. Average church is in a very, 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 very sad shape. And when I look at that, and when I see the shape of our country, when I see the shape that our school system are in, son, it can be very, very overwhelming. And I say like this woman, oh, we need something big. We need a miracle. I tell you real and truly what we need. We just need a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost sent revival that would sweep across this nation, that would edify the church, that would save sinners, that would revive our country. That's what we need. You know how it's going to come? Faith. That's how it's going to come. Just simply believing that God is still able, and then just totally throwing yourself in that direction. That's where it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen. We need something in our country that we can't produce in our own efforts. You need something. Can I get personal for a second? You need something in your home, in your family, in your life that you cannot produce in your own efforts. It's going to have to come through an almighty God. God, we need Him to move. We need Him to send revival. Oh my. I like listening to old preachers, because they had something that this generation don't have. They had power that we're lacking. Brother Ramsey, that's what we're lacking. In a lot of pulpits, there's just no power. And I like going back and listening to people like Dr. Percy Ray and J. Harold Smith, Brother Sammy Allen, Senate Ballou, men of God that's done going on. I was listening to one the other day, Dr. Harold Seiler, Tabernacle Baptist Church. He preached one Sunday night, and he come in and preached at his church one Sunday night. You've probably heard at least the title, but he preached the message. He asked them the question. He said, can God? Turned right around and said, God can. He asked them, can God, when you see it, the shape of our country, can I just for a second, I know we're about 35, 40, 50 years going by that message, but if I can just echo it for about 3 minutes. Man, when you look at it, it's real easy to ask the question. But you need to stop putting question marks where God intended periods. God can. Can God? Yes, God can. God can. You say, who can send revival? God can. You say, who can help our churches? God can. Who can help our young people? God can. God can do it. And it's time for you to start believing that. there's one thing that you all have that can limit God in our life, and it's our faith. Now, I promise you, I will get to an outline, and it's not that long, okay? But I'm just going to preach about faith for a second. There is one thing that we all have that can limit our God. Now, I know who our God is. Our God's got all power. Matthew 28 said, all power is given unto me. I know that, but your faith can limit it. I heard a preacher say the other day, and I'm not forgotten it, not gotten over it. He said, God can if your faith will. I want you to think about that for a second. God can if your faith will. I'm going to just get down here so I can get personal with you. Look right here. I want to ask you a question. This ain't in the notes, but it'll be all right. Usually get pretty nervous when I get off them notes because I ain't too good like this right here off a cuff. Let me ask you a question. What have you got? I want to ask you it the right way. What have you got in your life right now that you're praying for that you know you can't do it, but you need an almighty God to move in that situation? All right, that was my question. Now let me ask you this question. Do you have something that you're even concerned about enough that you're begging God to... See, we live every day of our lives without faith. We got it all figured out. We have it all analyzed. We have all the bills marked down. We know when that money's coming out of the bank account. It's all, thank God for auto draft. That's a wonderful thing. I ain't even got to worry about it. I feel sorry for you that's over 45 years old in this room that used to have to write checks first of the month. I feel sorry for y'all. I'm so glad that I was born in this generation. It just comes out. Y'all with me? Some of y'all still write checks first of the month, don't y'all? That's probably way smarter than everybody else, okay? My dad's still that way. And he's not that old, but he's an old soul. What do you have? Do you have something? That makes sense. See, I told you I ain't good when I get off the cuff. But see, we go every day, every week of our lives, the average Christian is living it without faith. You know what we've done? We've totally analyzed God out of our lives. We've got it all figured out. And I'm guilty of it too. I'm a very analytical person. But we've got God analyzed out of it. We don't take a step by faith anymore. Oh my. Y'all kind of died on me just then, and I know why. It's okay. But I'm just telling you. Man, you just hear preachers preach on taking a step by faith. Now, I know there's a difference in faith and foolishness. I get that, but I'm preaching about faith tonight. In the summer of, Lord help me, 2019, that's when it was. Try to remember because it was the year my boy was born. I about forget. I got three of them now, and sometimes I forget their birthdays. I had to ask Israel. Somebody asked how old she was at church this morning. I had to ask her how old she was. I remember the summer in 2019. I was still working. Bree was still working. We had one kid, one on the way. And we was on deputation for the school ministry. We didn't have the income. Let's see, what year is, what year are we in, RP? 24. He didn't know either. 24. I know. He did. I'm sorry. I lied just then. He didn't know. He answered fast. That's 5 years ago. Almost to right now. We didn't have the money coming in to sustain us on support. But God said, go. Step out. You know what we did? Lord, it's on you. Oh, and guess what happened? I landed on solid ground. And you know what the next month? We was just trusting God. He said, do it. And so we took another step. Guess what? We're 5 years down the road from that moment. I don't know if you can tell. Brother Josh, I have not missed one meal. Son, I've needed to, but I ain't missed one. You know why? Because when you learn to just trust that God's in control, there's no greater life than living a life simply by faith. Living by faith. What do you have in your life right now that you know that only God can do it, and you're simply saying, God, I trust you to do it. God, I believe that you can do it. It's called faith. Trusting that God is in control. Better than having an ocean full of enthusiasm is to have one drop of faith. Better than having a bank full of money is to have one drop of faith. You know what? If you just start simply believing God is who He said He is, it'd blow your mind what He'd do in your life. I promise you. It's time to have faith in God. You know, faith does not know doubt. Faith does not care about the difficulty. I'm talking about faith now. Faith does not sorrow about the discouragement. Faith is declaring that God is able, and faith is a daring confidence in our God. D.L. Moody said this, make your plans big because God is your partner. That's one of my favorite quotes of all time. I said, make your plans big because God is your partner. God's able. God can. Faith can part the sea. Faith can bring manna down from the heaven. Faith can bring water from a rock. Faith can speak everything into existence. Faith can make the waters walkable. Faith can make the mountains movable. Faith can make the army conquerable. Faith can make weak men capable. But you've got to learn to put your faith in an almighty God. William Carey said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Oh, I love it. You better have faith. In Luke chapter number 8, hey, I got to the text, y'all. In Luke chapter number 8, you find a woman that had great faith. She had been told by all the physicians that there was no hope for her. She'd been told by her family that there was no hope for her. I am positive that she even told herself some days that there was no hope for her, but she just kept on believing that God was going to be able to do the impossible. Oh, man, I wish we'd have some people today with that type of faith to believe, hey, God can do the impossible. With man, it might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Is anything too hard for our God tonight? No! No, nothing's too hard for our God. If God could breathe it all into being, if God can clothe this world, God can create every animal in an instant. He can put the stars in the sky and the sun and the moon. He can pick up dirt and breathe into it, make it a living being. If God can die on a cross and get up 3 days later with the redemption of all mankind, you tell me what's too hard for my God? There ain't nothing too hard for my God. It's time to believe that God is able. He's in control. What are you trusting tonight that you can't achieve? We ain't got no ambition in our day as Christians. Amen? We ain't got no ambition. What goals do you have? Hey, Amazing Grace, what do you see 5 years down the road? Now, we ask that in job interviews. Where do you see yourself 5 years down the road? Where do you see Amazing Grace 5 years down the road? What 10 years down the road, when these little ones are about to graduate high school, what do you see for this church? All right. I know preacher ain't here. I don't know why I'm preaching along these lines, but hey, it's good to have that view, that goal. You know what's going to make it come to fruition? Faith. Faith is not just sitting still and just, well, what happens, happens. No, it's trusting God is able and then going and doing something about it. I'm going to get there. So it's time to have some goal, some ambition, some drive. That faith brings that. Blind Bartimaeus can see if you'll have faith. The crippled man can walk if you'll have faith. The leopard can be cleansed if you'll have faith. It's time to have faith, y'all. And this woman right here in Luke 8, let me preach about her for about 10 minutes. She had faith. What did her faith bring, preacher? I'll show you four things. Number one, you see that her faith brought promotion. I like this one. Her faith brought promotion. Now, in the story right here, in the context, within just the space of a few yards, there were so many people around the Lord Jesus Christ that He couldn't even move. The Bible said in verse number 42, I think it is, that the people thronged Him. That means it was so many people around Him, it was like suffocating. He was drowning in a sea of people. That might have been why He dumbfounded the disciples when He asked the question, who touched me? Really? What kind of question is that, Peter's basically saying? What do you mean? The multitude thronged them and sayest thou who touched me? What are you talking about, Lord? What you talking about, Willis? That was a Simon Peter moment right there. He did it before He did it. What you talking about? Hey, man, I don't know where that came from. It was funny, though, wasn't it? Hey, man. I love that. Maybe that's why it dumbfounded him, because there's so many people around him. What do you mean? What do you mean that the, who touched me? Could he who knew so much be so ignorant to not know who touched him? No. He knew who touched him. He knew who reached out and touched him. So why did he ask that question? That's exactly why he asked that question. I believe he asked that question so that he might help this woman take a step out in the open and make that profession of faith in front of everybody that day. You say, well, preacher, why is that such a big deal? Because there would be people there that day that knew this woman. Oh, my. Y'all better stay with me. I'm going somewhere. There would be people there that knew this woman. There would be people there that knew who she was and what her condition is, and maybe more consequences that she was contaminating those people around her by just simply touching him. She was unclean. She was not supposed to be there. And God said, who touched me? So she would step out in front of all those people. Somebody that was unclean. Hey, somebody that was unworthy. Somebody that had no future could step out and say, it was me. You know what I'm talking about? Look at verse number 43. Let me show you her promotion. And the Bible said, and a woman having an issue of blood. Look at verse number 47. It says, and when the woman saw that she was not healed. But look at verse number 48 when the Lord answers her. After she put her faith in him, he looks at her, and I like them red letters on that screen. He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. You say, preacher, what's the deal? Y'all didn't see the promotion? She went from being a woman twice called, but when she put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when she fell down at his feet, she went from being a woman that was unclean, that was no good, had no good future, to being a daughter, a child of the living God, friend. Don't that sound like you and me this evening? And I know who I am. Man, before June 22nd, 2013, I was unclean. I wasn't fit to be around the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God I put my faith on him. And when I did, I became a child of the living God, friend. Son, my faith brought a promotion in my life. I went from being just a person, just a man, to being a son of God. Hey, man. Well, you may not like that, but that fires me up, son. Because I know who I am and what happened in my life. There was a promotion that took place. And it took place because of faith. I like what Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, verse 13 said, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Man, you know what I'm talking about? I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I didn't know anything about God. I had no future with God. But friend, when my faith was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there became a change in my life where I went just a nobody headed nowhere but a place called hell. Man, my whole destiny changed when faith was placed in the Lord. There's been a promotion in my life. I've said in John chapter 1, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. You say, preach, what are you talking about? I'm saying I've been promoted tonight. Thank God. Why? Because of my faith, there's been a promotion in my life. And it came because of faith. I'd about preach you to death right there. Son, I'm glad I'm saved. Do I need to say it real? I said I'm glad I'm saved, friend. And that happened because I placed my faith on him. There's a change that takes place in my life, June 22nd, 2013. Yeah, man, coming up on 11 years in about another week and a half when I got saved, when I got promoted. See, that's the first thing faith does in your life. It promotes you. It did this woman. I wonder tonight, here, I know it's a Sunday night, and I know what church I'm in, but I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight that's never had that promotion, that never placed your faith, they've never exercised faith on the Lord Jesus. You see, it's totally different. You see, you can believe in God all you want to. That ain't what saves you. You can believe that there is a God, but that ain't what saves you. It takes believing on Him, having faith in Him, on Him. I've talked about that in the book of Acts. Can I give you a demonstration that I love? I've given it 1,000 times. I'm going to do it again. Watch this. Let me show you the difference. You may be here and you've never been truly saved. Maybe you've never placed your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I help you if you'll listen to me real fast? Watch this. You see that chair right there in front of that fella? I was going to say ugly fella, but I didn't. I didn't say it. He said amen. I'm just moving on. Watch this. That chair right there. I believe that chair will hold me. I really do. I really believe. I believe that chair's gray. I believe it'll hold me. Y'all watching? You know what I'm doing right now? I'm believing in that chair. Y'all still with me? Why? Because I'm up here. I believe it'll hold me. I believe it's real. I believe it'll hold me, but I'm just believing in that chair because I'm standing right here. Now, I got a lot of bark here in my blood, so this might be a dumb thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. Watch this. I believe that this chair right here will hold me. You know what I'm doing now? I'm believing on this chair. Y'all, ain't that so simple? That's salvation, y'all. See, a lot of church folk. See, the barker didn't come out right there. Did y'all see the barker almost come out right there? If y'all don't know, y'all's pastor's real clumsy, and I got that from him. How about busted right there? A lot of church folk are living like what I'm doing right now. I believe that chair holds me. You believe there is a God. You believe that He's real. You believe that all that, but you've never placed your faith on Him. Believing that He will save you and then go and say, you know what? I believe it. I believe His chair will hold me. I wonder tonight, where are you at? Are you on the chair? Or are you still on the stage? Where's your faith at? Because there's a difference there. Man, when I was 5 years old, I believed in Him. Man, when I was 17, I believed on Him. I called upon Him to save me. There's a difference. Faith was exercised, and I was promoted. Not only is your faith brought promotion, but secondly, her faith brought production. And point number one was the longest one, if you want to know. Number two, her faith brought production. In the days of when the Lord was on the earth, it was not an easy thing to get to where Jesus was. In fact, it was a very difficult thing. It's like I preached last time I was here. I preached about Jairus. I know y'all can't remember. I preached on what to do when you're stuck. That's what I preached on. And some of y'all know me well enough. I'm kind of joking when I say stuff like that. Okay. You know what? You see, in that story, he got to him, but then he couldn't move. So it was a big deal to get to where Jesus was. This woman didn't just happen to come across the Lord. It was not just happenstance, Brother Stan. She meant to be there. She had to, no doubt, go through a lot of things to get there. But nothing was going to stand in her way to get to where He was. You know what did that? Faith. Faith to believe that God was able. And you know what her faith did? Her faith pushed her. Y'all with me? Her faith drove her. Her faith was her ambition. Oh, man. This helps me right here. Her faith would not let her sit still. Her faith was the driving force in her life to get her to the one that she needed to get to. You know what the book of James still says? That faith without works is what? Dead. You know what faith will do? It will produce something in your life. Man, I'm glad it promoted me. But man, Elijah, I'm thankful now that it's producing things in me. It's pushing me to do something. She was not content. You know what I believe might be the enemy of faith? Complacency. I believe that might be the enemy of our faith. I mean, the obvious answer is fear. I agree with that. Fear is an enemy of faith. But I believe complacency is an enemy of faith. Because when true faith, it's not just going to promote you, it's going to produce something in you. I get real worried when I see folks that they just sit there and don't do anything. That worries me. You know what it tells me? That their faith ain't very healthy. But man, I love it. Oh, man. I love it when somebody gets saved and they just can't help themselves. They got to get involved. You see them at every event. I mean, it don't matter if it's for the old people or for the young people. They're there. They just want to be involved doing something. You know what that tells me? They got some faith. That's what happens when you get faith in the Lord. It pushes you to do something. She was not content to just wallow in her situation and just say, oh, well, doctor said there's no hope. Oh, well, family said I should just give up. Oh, well, let me just throw a big old pity party. No, that's not what she did. She had faith to believe that God was in control, and it pushed her to do something. Now, let me tell you what the opposite of that is. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway, and I'll be done. She didn't post one thing about it on Facebook. Don't you know they had Facebook in that day? She didn't post one thing about it on Instagram with a pretty picture of a sunset and talking about how hard her life is. No, she got to where she needed to get to. And when your faith is right in your life, you won't be complaining about it and whining about it. You'll be doing your dead level best to get to where God is. That's what faith does. It gives you the right perspective. Her faith brought promotion. Her faith brought production. Let me give you this and I'll pass on. Her faith brought power. I'm done with that one. Something happened she couldn't do. And it was because of her faith. Now that was the fastest I'll ever preach a point. But her faith brought power. Number four, her faith brought promotion. It brought production. Wouldn't let her just sit still. It did something. You know, my faith is like that. I've already went past this point, but can I just step right one more thing about it? There are some things that really ain't the easiest thing in my life to do. But you know what my faith will not let me do? It will not let me not do that. Now, did that make sense in y'all's? That wasn't good grammar, but I feel like it made sense. There's some things that even though it ain't the easiest thing for us to do, my faith pushes me to go do it anyway. Like when, I got to move on. It's kind of like when church has visitation at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. It ain't easy. It's my day off, but my faith won't let me get on the lawnmower at 9:30. It's been getting too hot. You need to get on it earlier than that. But anyway, my faith won't let me go crank up the boat. My faith pushes me to go do something for God. It produces the right things in your life. You need to think about what is my life producing? Because faith pushes and produces the right things. Faith brought power. And then lastly, and I love this one. I'm going to say a couple things, and one of the 17 piano players in this church is going to come play invitation. I love how many, that was a joke, I love it. All of them can play. It makes me so mad because I sit on there and chord the whole thing. Her faith brought peace. Look at verse number 48. It said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Oh, I love this. A woman who had known nothing but grief and turmoil and pain. 12 years. 12 years is a long time, y'all. That's a long time. I am not old. I just preface that, what I'm about to say with that statement. I'm not old. I'm very young. But the older I do get, the more I'm realizing my grandpa knew what he was talking about when he said, you better enjoy these times because time flies. Older I get, again, I'm not old, but the older I do get, time is flying. Oh, man, it just seems like yesterday me and Bree got married. It feels like yesterday we had our first youngin', and I know they're very little, but I'm just telling you, it literally feels like yesterday. Time flies. Well, you say, well, preacher, you just sound like you just contradicted yourself because you just said 12 years is a long time, and then you said 12 years is not long. Let me explain the difference. When you're going through something, do you know what time does? It stops. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through trouble, or when you're going through a hard situation, minutes feels like hours. Hours feels like days. Days feels like weeks. Weeks feel like months. Y'all get it? Y'all know I'm telling the truth, right? That's where this woman was. She didn't have a great life for 12 years. She had to deal with this for 12 years. And now this woman that has spent all that time in pain and grief is just about to experience peace. He said, go in peace. Say, how is she about to live in peace? Faith. I can't explain it to you. I got plenty of stories. But all I know is this, is that you will never, ever experience peace in your life until you learn to tell the Lord, you got this. I believe you're in control. You'll never know what peace is. We live in a very chaotic world. I hate that. I don't like chaos. I like everything to stay the same. That's why I get the same thing to eat everywhere I go. Because I don't like change. So what if I get chicken nuggets and fries everywhere I go? You just mind your own business. Amen. My brother-in-law tells me I have the diet of a child. I don't care. It's good. Mix a little hot sauce and ketchup and ranch in there to change your life. I don't like things to be different. I don't like chaos. I like calm, serenity, peace. We live in a world that ain't all about that. And what happens is in our life is that we get our eyes off of the right things. And peace is nowhere to be found. You know what the greatest way to live a day is? In peace. You know why we go on vacation? Get a little peace and quiet. The guy got good news. And I'm for that. I just came back from the beach Friday night. Thank the Lord. That's why I'm so tan. Now, if you see this right here, it's red. I mean, it's about as red as that shirt right there, son. Now, it's white right here. Bless the Lord. Y'all with me? I don't have to preach on that tonight, do I? It's white right there. Anyway, sorry. I just offended everybody right there while I'm trying to give you closing remarks. You know why we go on vacation? We go to get peace. But I'm glad I got peace right now in my soul. The whole world could be falling apart. And you can still have peace. I've experienced that. Where everything was going wrong. And still somehow, somehow, it's just so calm inside. Oh my. You know how that happens? Faith. Just believing God's in control. I mean, there could literally be a cyclone around me. But in my soul, everything's just A-okay. That's because God is in control, and I believe that. You may be here tonight, and you got some chaos going on. You don't feel no peace. I have the answer for you. You need to believe that God's in control. Believe that God's in control. Faith brings peace. Piano player's going to come to piano. Whichever one of y'all plays the invitation, it doesn't matter to me. I wonder tonight, where's your faith at? I tell you, I've been thinking about that all day, what I said about having that goal. What do you see in 5 years? What do you see in 10 years? What is driving you? Faith's what's going to get you there. I saw standing out.